We're going to be talking about Australia, and joining me in a little while will be Justin Amler. Justin is the policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, and we're talking about Australia facing a backlash from pro-Israel groups over the Gaza ceasefire statement. So joining me right now is Justin Amler. Hi Justin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
All right, thank you. Thank you so much for making time to speak to me this afternoon. Justin, Australia is facing a backlash from pro-Israel group over Gaza ceasefire statement. What? Tell me about the ceasefire statement. Was this being part of the 25 countries?
Yes, that's right. So Australia's joined with, I think it's 27 other countries to issue quite a strong statement calling for a ceasefire. But unfortunately, what the statement does, it criticizes the delivery of humanitarian aid. It also mentions the horrifying death toll in Gaza, except it uses Hamas figures, so it doesn't even question that. It mentions the hostages, but doesn't actually calls for a ceasefire, but doesn't actually call on Hamas to. Essentially, doesn't condemn Hamas enough. It condemns the continued detention of the hostages, but this immediate and unconditional ceasefire calls for would actually leave Hamas in power. So it's a little bit contradictory in many ways. It calls for a negotiated settlement, but doesn't actually call on a firm stand for Hamas to lay down its weapons and release the hostages.
Justin, who put the statement together? How did those countries all come together and say, this is the statement that we're going to do? Did this have to do with that conference that happened last week?
Well, I think it probably had an influence on it. I mean, there were a total of 28 countries that signed the ceasefire. And from what I understand, it was, done mainly, I think the UK might have initiated it, but 28 countries signed onto it, of which, of course, Australia was one of them. Along with also New Zealand, France, Canada, so a lot of big countries in the West signed on to the statement.
Yeah. So what does this mean? Okay, so they've made a statement. What of it? What power does it hold?
Well, the main problem why we reject a statement such as this is that it doesn't actually do anything constructive. It's really misguided and it's very counterproductive to the very aims that these countries say they seek. For instance, it's not going to help to bring any kind of security for Israelis and Palestinians. It accepts Hamas propaganda claims, which are often amplified by the UN agency. And this immediate and unconditional permanent ceasefire is not going to actually help any situation, because it also goes against certain requirements or long-standing positions of the Australian government, which has said repeatedly that Hamas cannot remain in power or Hamas should have no role in the future management of Gaza. Yet by calling for an unconditional ceasefire, that does the very opposite. It actually means Hamas would remain in power. So, there are many issues with the statement, but the main fact is that it just runs. It doesn't achieve anything, and it's really counterproductive, especially now at the moment when, U.S. mediators have said quite clearly that Israel is doing everything it can to reach such a ceasefire deal. So by a statement like this, which is highly critical of Israel, it actually gives Hamas almost support, because why would Hamas agree to any kind of U.S.-sponsored agreement when these 28 nations have gone together and are putting the pressure on Israel instead? So we find it very unhelpful, and as I said, it doesn't help to bring any kind of peaceful end to the conflict. And I should also note that Hamas himself have welcomed the statement. So Hamas being a brutal terrorist organization, as we know, any statement that elicits support from Hamas cannot really be considered a good statement, in my opinion.
So I'm just trying to connect the dots. In my mind, I have a 5-year-old, And the five-year-old in my brain needs to understand things very simplistically so that I can see the moving parts. It's just part of my own critical thinking. So last week, do you know that there was this emergency conference held by the Hague Group? It was the joint, and at the end of the, it happened in Bogota and in Colombia, and at the end of the conference, they put out the statement, which you can actually go and see on the DIRCO, which is the Department of International Relations and Cooperation website in South Africa. And the statement, so it's the Hague Group. Are you familiar with the Hague Group, Justin?
Yes, I have heard of them, yes.
So we, the representatives, this is a statement of Bolivia, Cuba, Colombia, Indonesia, Iraq, Libya, Malaysia, Namibia, Nicaragua, Oman, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, South Africa and all other states that endorse the following before the 20th of September 2025. And it goes on, it's three pages of things that they are calling for. So guided by the purposes and principles enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations and international law, including the inalienable right of self-determination of peoples and the principle of the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by force. It goes meeting, grieving, deploring, lamenting. So it's a lot of the of it's. I just found it interesting because I've seen lots of reports about these 25 countries, but none of them referencing the Hague Group statement, and it does sound like the same thing. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, there have been many, many statements over the last couple of years. Obviously, a statement like this, it comes from Western countries, so it's a little bit different. I mean, the countries in the statement are all Western powers. You know, we've got Australia, as I mentioned earlier, Canada, we've got Belgium, Japan, Italy, France, you know, so a statement like this comes from the West. So I guess it does have a different, maybe not different implication, because similar messaging, I suppose, but it comes from Western countries. So I guess that would be the main difference.
Yeah.
But the message is still the same. It's calling for permanent ceasefire, okay, but a ceasefire that will not lead to any kind of lasting resolution. Essentially, they want the war to end, and this is something that Israel also wants. Israel wants
That's
war
what
to
I'm
end
thinking.
As well.
Doesn't everybody want that?
Look, it's been a difficult. Exactly, everyone wants this war to end, but to end the war with Hamas remaining in power is not the end of the war. It's a surrender in a sense, because Hamas have stated repeatedly that they want to carry out the October 7 attacks again and again and again. It's not a secret. It's been well documented and well known. So to end this war now with Hamas remaining in power is not going to be the end of the war. It's just going to be a pause until the next war, which will inevitably occur, because as soon as it stops, Hamas will use this time to build up the power again. So this is why it's such a counterproductive kind of statement that will not lead to any kind of lasting resolution.
So why do you think they made the statement? Mm-hmm. Why do you think they made the statement? Because I don't think that they're unintelligent. Knowing that it's not going to do anything, why make it?
Look, I think it's a good question. Why make it, since it's not going to lead to any kind of lasting resolution?
Which they know. So,
yeah, I think possibly it might be for maybe some domestic consumption in their respective countries. It's certainly, I think there are many political implications, not just against Israel, but within their own countries. They want to be seen as you know, trying to end, you know, the horrible conflict. And there is a horrible conflict. You know, no one denies it. So maybe for their own voter base, it's possible. But as I said, that's every country's got their own, of course, objective to signing it. But I do think it's just it's one of these, how can we say, it's one of these ones where, you know, they want to be seen to be doing something, but their actions are really ineffective. I mean, if they wanted to make real progress towards, say, to ending the conflict, it's quite simple what they should be saying. They should be demanding that Hamas lay down their arms and return the hostages, because that is what Israel has stipulated many, many times, the conditions for ending the war, for Hamas to disarm and return the hostages. This is not a secret. This has been known, and Israel has been clear on this message from the beginning.
Yeah. Justin, that is where we leave it, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I would love to have this conversation with you, and maybe we can do that again next week. But I have to leave it there. But thank you so much. It's Justin Ambler. He's a policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. If you would like to weigh in on that discussion, let me know. Why do you think that all these countries that have no skin in the game are making demands on Israel? Don't give Hamas the responsibility of returning the civilian hostages. And why do you think that is? Let me know. 061-895-1019. Maybe if you've thought about it, you can help me make sense of it. I'd really appreciate that. Welcome to my world. I need a translator, darn it. Coming up, I'm going to be talking cancer awareness with Professor Michael C. Herbst, who's a health specialist, is a Cancer Association of South Africa. I read a report 2 weeks ago about the increase, the alarming increase of cancer in young people. Cancer has traditionally been thought of as an old person's disease. We're going to be talking about what cancers are those, what are the symptoms, and when should you go and get checked out. Stay with me. I'm Kathy Kalin. This is The Home Run.